want to get on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? You know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs on Fade Route Podcast on IG, or hit that Twitter, faderoutednz.
Joining us on the In Route today, we've got the host of Cables, Coffee, and Curveballs, Rich Miller and George Chaco. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
What's going on, fellas?
Yeah, all right, man.
That's my opening line, so I got to.
I know. That's why I said it. I was like, oh, you're just staying true to you. You're right on brand.
Always in character.
All right, man. We're going to start you off with this. This year, we saw the Braves and Dodgers both win over 100 games and get bounced out of the playoffs in the first round. Over the last few years, Major League Baseball has changed their playoff format to give more teams a chance to get into the playoffs to compete for a championship. Many critics feel the new playoff format has devalued the regular season. What do you guys think about the changes Major League Baseball has made?
First of all.
First things
first of all. As a Met fan, as a diehard Met fan, woof. I gotta watch the Braves and the Phillies battle it out. But once I get that out the way, for the larger picture, I think the issue is primarily the break, especially when it comes to sports. I don't like bye weeks for my teams, right? I'm superstitious to the point where I don't like bye weeks on my fantasy team, let alone the real team. So, sports is a weird animal in the sense that your luck can really change. You get hot at the right time, you get cold at the wrong time, everything changes. Baseball is 162 games. We saw the start of this season. What was that crazy opening that the Rays had? That 20 yeah. Or something crazy like that. And then you getting bounced out the first round. And I just think this year, I think there was, a five-day break before the Braves?
Yep, 5 days. Off with it.
That's a long time, man. And I'm assuming that there was already a break, that the main players were getting a little rest towards the end of the season and all this kind of stuff. So, in my opinion, that break is what's really troubling, but...
Is it me or are the Phillies in it every year? They always get hot at the right time. Is that I feel like every
woof. It's just the way their team is built.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way they went about building their roster where, they're trying to bang the ball out of the ballpark and they got two guys who could pitch really. Yeah. They have a decent bullpen. It's just like they just hang around. They're that nasty fog in the morning that just kind of hangs around. That's the way I like to describe the Phillies. Yeah. But I hear you saying, George, my whole thing is this, is like baseball is one of the sports that it's kind of built on a regular season, right? It's built on 162 games. They have all these records, and to play all these games and to win 100 plus games and your reward for being the number one overall seed is you get a division opponent in a five-game series. It's like, it's just like, I don't know if home field advantage is enough anymore. Maybe it becomes that, if you had the team with the best record, you get all five games at home. Like, why should you go on the road at all? If you won 100 plus games, you won 12 more than any other team in the division or even in the league. And it's just like, I don't think they're rewarding it enough, And it's just like, and think about this. It's like, if you were a season ticket holder, if you were like a big fan, I'm a Braves fan, but I'm not going to Braves games. But imagine you were a season ticket holder. You went to 60 of the 81 games you could possibly go to. and you see these guys get bounced out in four games to the Phillies, I mean, that's just a slap in the face. Like, what's going to make you go to 61 games next year if you're not Mary Hart?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take anything for my team, but I'll take a manager to start. But, you know, it's tough. What if you have two teams that have 100-plus wins? What do you do then?
Yeah, I mean, which we saw. I mean, yeah. We saw that with the Dodgers.
Right.
I mean, the Dodgers were flawed. And you know what? You know, I'm a Braves fan, and I'm not bitter about it. Like, we lost. We had opportunities to win, and we lost. Like, Acuña up with the bases loaded. We had a chance. We had Olsen up with a man on. They beat us. It's fine. Yeah. But I'm just trying to say, then, what's the point of paying 162 games?
I mean, I think that's a larger question. Yeah. Like, why are you playing 162 games?
But right. Why are we paying 162 games if it all can end? Because I got to play the division opponent in a five-game, not even a seven-game series, a five-game series. And then you're going to let teams that clearly don't belong here, I'm sorry, but the Diamondbacks just got blowed out last night because they don't belong here. You know, and you're going to, like, who wants to, you know, Z and I talked about this at length a couple weeks ago. Who wanted to see the Rays play? Who wanted to see the Minnesota Twins play the Blue Jays? Like, who wants to see that garbage? It's hot garbage. I don't want to see the Blue Jays. I didn't want to see the Rays. I want to see the best teams at their best. We didn't get that.
I mean,
the problem with that is that you're not going to subtract teams. The answer to your problem, the answer to this issue, is that they're going to add more teams. So you're going to get the Mariners and the Cubs. Right? So
great.
So are you happy about that? We're still not getting the Mets.
No, we're still not getting the Mets.
Boys, we're still not getting the Mets.
It's still not. Now, you know, the thing is, like, I'm just looking at the standings in the American League, and I'm like, Minnesota made the playoffs, right? Yeah, they won the division fair. But they won 87 games. You have three teams in the AL East that have a better record.
Yeah.
You have three teams in the AL West that have a better record. I don't know.
I think take a page out of the NBA book, right? Like,
everybody in?
I mean, or you know, like George was mentioning, though, like the records being what they are. Like, I'm a Yankee fan, but I've been detached from baseball for a few years. I'll be totally honest. We just wrapped up our 20th fantasy year, finally retired from that. So I've been really out of touch from baseball. I watch it, I keep track of it, but man, it's not what, for me, it's not what it used to be. But I don't hate the idea of
Yankees.
Yeah. I don't hate the idea of a different layout for the playoffs. I like more. I like having more teams in, but that's a double edged sword, right? Because then you're letting in certain, you know, teams that may or may not be. You know, I mean, like, I don't know, George. The Mets are never going to get in, so that doesn't really matter. But I don't mind the whole one. You know, I like how the NBA does it with the 1 through 8, and so really, I know they still do the. You know, they still do the top four. Well, I guess is MLB 4 or 3? I can't even remember off the top of my head. But, you know, I don't like George mentioned this to me earlier because I lost touch with this. Is it they're doing reseeding now? Is that what they're doing in MLB?
No, they're not. And that's the problem.
Oh, so George lied to me then because he gave me incorrect information.
Yeah, probably.
Nah, like I said.
Fair.
I checked out of baseball about a month and a half ago. Yeah. You know, as a Met fan, you typically check out of baseball around mid-August, right? Am I right?
Jeez. And speaking about the Met fan, the group over here. So the Mets failed to make the postseason after a 100-win season last year. Hmm. Verlander's gone. Buck is gone. DeGrom is gone. Scherzer's gone. It seems like all hope is really gone. Who should be the next manager of this Mets mess? And what's it going to take to get to 100 wins again?
I'm guessing you want me to start, Rich, on this?
I mean, Rich is like, I don't even care anymore.
Like, I mean,
you should join my team.
Yeah, I mean, my two cents is with the Mets, they, you know, everything has seemed to fail. And this is not me just being a jerk about it. Like, everything has failed over the last few years. Find a young up-and-coming guy to take a chance on as far as a manager is concerned. Like, obviously, they have a lot of young players. But the whole recycling of the manager, like the whole Buck thing, like clearly that was not a great episode, a great process. He's, you know, So I'm all about giving a young guy a chance that maybe is kind of up and coming, sitting on a bench somewhere. That's the next big thing, and maybe
sounds like a Met already.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, let's see. They did the Buck Showalter route. They ran the Luis Rojas route before that. They did the Mickey Callaway before that. So it was Terry Collins before him.
Oh my goodness!
Mickey Callaway.
The way you listed that, exactly why I let Rich go first, because I'm sitting here thinking about, oh my god, and, you know, I'm also wondering if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. TC was probably my favorite coach in the last.
Does Carlos Beltran count or no?
Sign the contract.
Beltran.
Contract.
Isn't he a Yankees announcer now?
I couldn't tell.
I think he's in the Yankees front office.
I think he's exactly. Yeah.
And his name comes up every year as a potential Met manager. You know,
he's still looking at that curveball from Adam Wainwright.
Oh, wow.
Still hurts. Yeah. You know, with a Met fan, it's the same story. We want somebody. That person comes on. One year they're good, and second year we're trying to crucify them. That happened with Buck. It happened with Rojas. You know, Mickey Callaway. But there are other issues there. And you look at a list. You got Phil Nevin. Angels suck. Kepler. Giants sucked. You know, what do you do? All you're really left with is Greg Council. Yeah, I'll take my chances with them, I guess.
Okay.
Because right. I don't know what else is out there. Eric Chavez,
so
I don't want that.
George, I'm going to throw one out there. Met fan to Met fan. And Rich, I think your ears may perk up with this. But there's a guy on the Blue Jays bench who has managerial pedigree who might be looking to come back to New York. I don't know. I'm just saying, Don Mattingly might not be a bad look.
I'm not. Sorry. I cannot see that happening now.
It would be pretty ironic.
It would. Aside from the whole, oh, you need a Yankee for the Mets to win again nonsense that every Yankee fan will scream out there. He hasn't really won, right?
He was okay with the Marlins. He was okay with the Dodgers. He's never won a championship. I mean, he's won games. He knows how to coach. He's a good bench coach. I mean,
he makes two bad calls, and you know the Met fan's gonna turn and say, "Get that Yankee out of here."
Argue that Dave Roberts won with Don Mattingly's players, and you can make that argument. Just because, he set the ground floor, and then Dave Roberts was able to kind of get them across the finish line. But Dave Roberts is no great manager either. But I mean, I'm not in love with the Council hire. I understand his relationship to David Stearns, but because I also heard that Eric Chavez is on the list. Eric Chavez excites me a little bit more than Craig Council does.
I think Eric Chavez is on the list just because. I mean, he was a good hitting coach. Obviously, he came off the hitting coach, and we were terrible this year. But, I would like to go younger. Yes, that's my final answer. I would like to go younger in coaching.
All that to just agree with me? Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just want to make sure, you know, I mean, Dusty Baker is going to re-sign with Houston. That's obvious. I'm just looking at the list of potential available managers, and it's not very exciting, to be honest. That's the problem.
Oh man. Well, let's get into Rich's wheelhouse.
Oh yeah.
Here we go. So the Jets beat the Eagles this weekend, giving the Eagles their first loss of the season. The Jets danced and parade around the field like they won the Super Bowl. Where they beat the 15-0 Patriots. I was waiting for them to bring out the Lombardi trophy. So, I mean, Rich, I mean, were you running around your house? I mean, you have any issue with this Jets celebration? Or this is just, you know, you're just like Met fans. You get excited over the smallest thing. The smallest victories excite you.
So here's the thing. Like, obviously, it's been rough. So, if you're luckily, George is a Giants Mets fan, right? So he doesn't have to suffer. I'm a Yankee Jet fan. So we've kind of
very rare, Rich.
It is. Yeah. It's very rare. It very much is. So, are we going to bleep it out if I say it? Like,
no, you can do whatever you want.
So, when I was watching, so here's the thing. I basically felt like I had my heart ripped out when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles on opening night. Like, even George admitted to me, like, the open, like, him watching Rodgers run out, like, from the tunnel with the American flag.
It was goosebumps.
Like, it was I was having goosebumps as, obviously, a diehard Jet fan. And for George to say that to me as a, no, non-Jet fan, it was really cool, right? Like, I know he was older. I know in hindsight he tore his Achilles on the fourth freaking play. But how cursed do you have to be to have that happen, where the whole offseason revolved around this guy? Whether he's putting on an act or not, I mean, whatever. He said everything right. He showed up to everything in the offseason. He made everybody, all the doubters, look wrong. And then four plays in, tore his Achilles. Mind you, I just tore my Achilles back in March, so I knew exactly what happened to him as soon as it happened. And I was basically crying. So the other night, to get back to your question, as soon as Jalen Hurts threw that ball and I saw Adams running the other way, I started screaming, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. My dad was on the other side of the room. He was like jumping up and down. My daughters came running in the room. They thought I was like angry, but I was like yelling like holy shit, because I was so excited. And I couldn't believe, first of all, I couldn't believe he was throwing the ball. Second of all, I couldn't believe we intercepted it. And then we scored the touchdown. So yeah, listen.
I can see it right now. Like, I visualize it.
Yeah, he's visualized me jumping around my living room because he helped me put the TV up on the wall. So he knows exactly where I was. But no, listen. Well, we're off this week, so we can't lose. But Zach Wilson, I'm still not sold. George and I had this conversation last night. I wanted to believe in him. I always want to believe in my guys. If he does it for another couple weeks, I guess maybe he's at least decent. It's the defense that does, you know, the defense is carrying us. Is it possible that they sneak in the playoffs? Maybe, but yes, that could have been our Super Bowl for the year. So, you know what? You got to celebrate. The fact that they're 3-3 at the bye after losing Rodgers on opening night, I honestly thought we'd maybe have just that one win and would have just gone into a tailspin after that. So, you know, I'm going to go with it until the wheels fall off at this point. That's how I operate with my guys. So,
yeah.
It's an impressive defensive win considering the fact that your secondary was depleting.
I know.
You had practice guys out.
Yeah,
practice
literally.
Guys out there.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be a large level of optimism, right? Because you go into this bye, what, you're 3-3, whatever it is, and now you come out, you play in the Giants. You should be able to wax them. The Chargers.
We'll be there in person. George and I will be there in person.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah, we will.
The Chargers come to play the Jets the week after that. Mm-hmm. Then it's the Raiders. Then it's the Bills. You know, these are winnable games. So, I mean,
Jets could be on a 3-game winning streak.
Hey.
Now, the question becomes is, did you need Rodgers?
What he thinks, I can give you my two cents.
Actually, I'll let George jump in because he actually gave me the answer to that yesterday. I got it, George.
Yeah, I was very skeptical of Rodgers coming in, and this is all thing Jets, that is all thing Mets, as you mentioned. And I was like, the hype, the man's 40 years old. What's he really? I mean, what was different in the offense he had in Green Bay last year versus the Jets this year? And, you know, the Jets defense is obviously better, but like, what are you really getting? And, you know, but you celebrate what you get. But at this point, with the Jet defense as good as it is, if Rodgers was behind throwing that ball, I seriously think Super Bowl was not a reach.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
cosine.
it's yeah. I mean, although I'll tell you, when we drive back next week from MetLife Stadium, and if we pull off a miracle and beat the Jets, it's two Giant fans in the car and four Jet fans in the car. That's going to be a hell of a quiet ride.
Yeah. Well, listen, I will say that Wink has definitely got the Giant defense playing much better.
Yeah, they played well.
They were in that game with Buffalo. They should have won that game.
I was rooting for them.
Yeah,
I threw something at the TV when Tyrod called that audible. And
oh, goodness.
That was painful.
He checked into a run play.
Unbelievable.
Even the linemen were like, did he really just say we're going to run the ball?
Yeah. I was hoping Dable went out there and just strangled him.
But I do like him. I do like Tyrod, and I feel like he's getting the ball out a lot faster than Danny did. Mm. I do like Tyrod Taylor. I've always liked him as a Ravens fan, and he played for the Ravens for a while, and he's made his way around the league. Mm-hmm. But he gets it. I think that was just more or less like he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been here long enough to understand. Like, dude, you got to change that. You can't check to the. I know you have a lot of faith in Saquon, but man, You cannot check to that on the goal line with 14 seconds left in the half.
No. You throw the ball, you throw it out, you go with a field goal, you call it a day.
Points are points.
It's oh my God, it was brutal to watch. I was speechless, and then I wanted to throw something at the TV, and then I realized I'd be down at TV, so I didn't throw it. But
fair. Good call.
So moving over to basketball, the NBA season is imminent, and a lot of teams improved their rosters during the offseason. None better than the Bucks, acquiring Dame Lillard. The Celtics got Drew Holiday and sloppy seconds of Kristaps Porzingis. The Knicks seem to be proud of how they got Villanova championship team from a few years ago, but they didn't bring Jay Wright with them. So did the Knicks do enough to compete in the East for a championship?
And it continues. I need a moment to gather my thoughts and emotions.
Well, we do have a Celtics fan in the house.
So yeah, we do.
Let's go that route. Let's go that route.
I'm ready. As soon as I was stoked to see a Celtics, for this. Listen, I'm never a fan of trading big for small. So they traded Rob Williams away. The problem with him is he was super injury prone, but they got Porzingis. However, Porzingis is also super injury prone, so can't rely on either of them. They got rid of one of them. They also traded Marcus Smart. In that course, so many moving parts in the offseason, but the fact that they were able to bring a guy like Drew Holiday, I think, was really. I like whatever my team does. I'm usually not a big.
Oh, you're a homer?
I'm usually a homer? Yeah, I mean, who's not, right? no, but.
I tell it the way it is, man.
With Holiday, though, I think that's what Brown kind of needed, because they're still, as much as it seems like they've been around forever, they both came in the league at like age 20 and 21. They're still like, what, mid to late 20s, give or take. So they're still young in basketball terms. And Holiday is just a really solid, like, veteran guy. Like, I mean, he's been an all-star. He's probably just a notch below Smart as far as defense, but he's probably a notch better on offense. So maybe a wash between in that regard. I think he'll keep them, those two, a little bit more in line. So I'm still not sold on Porzingis staying healthy. If he stays healthy, then I think the Celtics are definitely right up there as one of the top two or three teams. Bucks, I mean, hey, Dame Lillard can put up 50 on any night. Him playing off of Giannis, my goodness, how scary is that?
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is like, it wasn't working, Rich, right?
Right. It's like, yep, you're right.
What you had wasn't working, so we got to change it up. And I, you know, Z is not a big fan of it, but I did like the Porzingis move because he's a scorer, and he is a, you know, when he's healthy, he's a big that can score. Like, he can shoot threes. Like, he can get to the basket.
Yep.
He can create his own shot. Like, I like it because, in my opinion, you guys got two forwards. You got Tatum and you got Brown. They're basically playing the same position. So what's going to throw that off? And then Drew Holiday, you know, for me, I don't think it's a wash with him and Marcus Smart, because to me, Marcus Smart's a good defender. He was a voice out there. But Drew is a perimeter defender, better perimeter defender, more of a facilitator.
Yeah.
And also, he's a champion.
Yeah.
He's a champion. I like that. He knows how to do it. But in your eyes, it's what? It's Bucks and Celtics. That's how you see it. You're not worried about the Heat. You're not worried about Sixers. You're not worried about it. It's those two teams.
I'm not worried about, right now, no, I'm not. I mean, the Heat, Butler somehow.
I was going to say, you can never count Butler out.
He always somehow gets his team in there, and they are scary. But right now, you know, I'm optimistic that, you know, it comes down to, you know, health given, which is not a given. But Bucks and Celtics are my top two in the East. But before George gives his Knicks take, I like what the Knicks are doing. They still are one guy away, though. They're still one guy away.
Only one guy.
Well,
away, huh?
Like,
they're a Jimmy Butler away.
Well, that's a pretty significant
guy away.
If they could have pulled off a deal for Beal or somebody like that. I love Brunson, though. My dad's been a Knicks fan forever. Raves about Brunson, and I really like Brunson the way he plays. He's really freaking solid, and the fact that the Mavericks let him go makes the Mavericks look really brutal 2 years later now, or whatever it is. So
you want to talk about injury prone players? Yeah, let's bring in Bradley Beal. Why not?
I think we could all agree that Brunson's probably the best Knick, right? He's their best player. Sure. He's their go-to guy. He's the guy that's going to be, you know, the person that they're going to call on at the end of the games. And that's the only problem I see with maybe the Bucks are going to have is just, you know, Z and I talked about this last week. I don't know how that offense is going to run. I don't know how that dynamic is going to work because Dame's a scorer, Giannis is a scorer, Middleton's a shooter. Like, you know, when it's coming down to the end of the game, what's it going to be? Lillard chucking threes from half court? Is he going to get the ball to Giannis and score the easy bucket? Like, what's that going to be like? You know, he's not a guy that's getting more than six assists a game. And they're also used to having a Jrue Holiday type player. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really interested to see how that offense comes into play. But I don't think you could just write off the Heat because Jimmy Butler just is amazing. He should be a Nick George. They botched that.
Yeah.
I think the Cavaliers come back. It is another year where you know they're going to be a little bit better. And then the Harden situation is just a mess. Heard he didn't come to practice today. So what's going on?
Right? Is he still with the Sixers? I don't even know where
he's still with the Sixers.
He still wears their gear. So,
my gosh. Talk about head case, huh?
He's reality TV on the NBA.
Yeah.
The way I see it is that until that situation is resolved, I can't put the Philadelphia 76ers ahead of the Knicks or the Cavs.
Right.
So I drop them to 5. So that to me, that puts Knicks in 3-4 territory.
I can see that.
Just by default.
I can see that, though.
But, you know, the Celtics thing, like, they lost a lot, man. You got to think about that. Yes, they brought in Jrue Holiday. They lost both Williamses.
Yep.
And they lost Brogdon. And they lost Smart.
Yeah.
So, like, that's huge.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys.
Lost their coach, too, if you want to add that in there.
No,
they brought in second row Joe.
Yeah.
Second row Joe.
I like that. I haven't heard that one. Nice.
You know.
Doesn't call timeouts. Just play through, guys. Play through.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that makes me nuts. I can't do that.
Yeah, for me, I think Knicks are in a 5. I still would put the Cavaliers slightly above the Knicks.
Oh, okay. Look at you being honest. I love it.
Yeah, you know, that's all I got as a Knick and Met fan for the most part.
George is a big Julius Randle fan. He even has a sign. I have a picture proof. He has a signed picture of
these Julius guys. Randle. I can't Julius Randle, if you're hearing, I can't stand you.
Oh. So you Poor don't guy. Want them to re-sign him, huh?
No, I want him gone two years ago. The moment he flipped off the Garden, I want him out. Wow. I don't want anyone that doesn't understand how New York works.
He is a friend of the program, so he's definitely
gonna listen.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Julius, you can find us on Bald AV Guys on socials.
Just so you know, Julius, I was the one that got George the really nice gift of your signed picture, and he's the one bad-mouthing you.
So if by the grace of God, Daryl Morey said, we'll take Julius Randle off your hands if you take James Harden off our hands,
would
you do that in a heartbeat?
Oh, my God. I might. That might be one trade I don't take. I don't know who's worse.
Oh, my goodness. I would rather have Julius Randle.
I would rather have Julius too, because even if he's disgruntled, he'll play his heart out.
He's not a head.
Harden will put on a fat suit and sit in the corner. Yeah.
Oh my God. The fat suit.
Unfortunately, I think RJ Barrett would be on his way out.
Yeah.
But you guys recently had Super Dan Parisi on your podcast. So what was your biggest takeaway from that interview?
That's Julius Randle calling.
Julius Randle.
Oh, no.
On the line. He said he's a friend of the program. He's listening.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I still have a landline, and he has a number.
Unbelievable.
He's calling in.
So, Super Dan is our good friend, Dan Parisi. We've been trying to connect with him. We've known him for probably give or take about a year now. We've been trying to connect with him a couple times at a couple of, you know, tech AV conferences that we've been at. And we've just missed him. I know we were talking offline. I mentioned to you guys, it's funny. We found out on the way back from a trip in Orlando that we lived 20 minutes from him. So we finally got around to having him on our podcast. And Dan is genuinely one of the nicest people I think George and I have ever met in the industry. And sure. I think the biggest takeaway we had was he's such a great advocate of uplifting other people in the industry that we wanted to just kind of have him on our podcast and just pick his brain and chat with him about AV career paths and women in AV and the stuff. He just took on a new role with commercial integrator and Emerald, and just, you know, in general, just chatted up with him a little bit because he's just genuinely an awesome person. And I think everybody in our, so far the feedback we've gotten is just again how like genuine and off the cuff everything was with him, and it's like just super smooth, and we just had a great time having him on the podcast.
Yeah.
It was great catching up with him and finally getting him. It was like fourth try at connecting with him. We keep missing him every time we see him in person. So
yeah, and you know, a quick tidbit about AV industry is, you know, we've been around forever since the 70s, but no one realizes what the AV industry is.
Yeah, George is really
huge,
old.
Huge, multi-billion. You know. Yeah, I've been around since Kiss concerts, as we'll find out soon enough. We were talking about concerts, and I couldn't think of Taylor Swift. I went for Kiss concerts. So
that was great.
And Rich made it a point to point out how old I was by saying Kiss.
And Dan jumped in, and you know he
rescued you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Then he circled back at the end and gave a little.
Yeah. He did.
But you know, he's such a great advocate for our industry. But I think what he said at some point was, "Give me the blame and share the credit with the people around me."
Yeah.
I think that is such an amazing sentiment.
Hoard the blame, I think he said.
Hoard the blame, right? And it's such a rare sentiment that I was really truly impressed.
He's not even just saying that just to say it; he means it, which is, you know, it's very genuine. I love. It's a great guy across the board.
So we'll get you out here on this one, guys. So you guys are entering season 2 of your podcast.
Woo!
We'll get your drops in. Don't worry about that. So give us a little taste. What can your listeners expect from you guys this season?
It's going to be season 2 is going to be a little insane. We have a lot of guests lined up.
Mm-hmm.
We have a game show that's dropping very soon.
We do.
And you know, we have a couple of events planned, and don't want to give it all out, but you know, it's going to be a crazy season 2. Season 3, I don't know how we're going to match it, but we're going to have to. But season 2 is going to be insane.
Yeah, and I think the add-on to that is we also have a really awesome intern named Gopesh working with us this semester, who's like really uplifting our content. And
I'm so glad you dropped his name.
Yeah.
he doesn't have a mic, but he's behind the screen.
Yeah, yeah. But and you know, he was on our first season 2, episode 1. He jumped right in and started roasting us right off the bat. So he gets us. He edits all our videos and does an insane job, like creating our content. And
although he hasn't dropped the Super Dan video yet, so.
Interesting. Well, he said the video wasn't ready. You're a little pushy with him. You gotta give him time, man. He's a full-time
no per
student.
Diem this week.
He's an intern. Where's my damn coffee?
He's a full-time student that's trying to graduate this semester. So no, but
look how soft Rich is.
No, but seriously, without him, like I mean, our content was pretty solid. Was very solid last semester. We had a lot of help. But like he's been so dedicated to it that I think we've really seen like an uptick in everything, our socials and so on and so forth. And you know, I just wanted to give him a shout out for all of his hard work. He's put a lot of hours in behind the scenes that, you know, everybody makes it seem like video and stuff is easy to produce and content. And George and I know between everything he's done and our good friend Sweet Lou, who has also helped us immensely getting our podcast off the ground in season 1, there is so much behind the scenes work that goes on that I cannot think and everybody that helps us enough, honestly.
Yeah, the 1 or 2 episodes Rich and I had to do ourselves was
miserable. Oh my gosh, brutal.
We really love our crew, to be
yeah
honest.
We do. That's a shout out to everybody. That's
definitely
everybody.
Takes a lot of time.
It does.
Well, but it's definitely an endeavor that's worthwhile. Yeah. So
yeah,
and speaking of a worthwhile endeavor, fellas, it was a blast having you on with us. Rich Miller, George Chacko, the Bald AV guys. Say what you got to say, guys. Where can we find you? What time and when?
Yeah, so our podcast is Cables, Coffee, and Curveballs, and we tend to drop an episode once every 3 or 4 weeks or so right now at this time. You can find us on all of the socials at Bald AV guys. And yeah, we want to look forward to having you guys follow us and interact with us, and we really appreciate you guys having us on. We always love talking sports, so this was awesome to be able to go full sports for 30 plus minutes. I can't wait to do it again if you'll
next
have
next time back in the Pace studio.
Oh. Yeah, let's do it.
Uh-oh. Nice.
quick tidbit, you know, Cables, Coffee, and Curveballs was supposed to be about sports, but it's become about everything, every tangent that the show goes off on. So you know, it wasn't intended, but Curveballs became more hypothetical, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys are ever in the mood to just talk about sports for 30 minutes straight, just you know where to find them.
Yes.
And we know where to find you. And
you do.
If you want to be the next member of the In Crowd, hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoute Podcast. Drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ. George Chacko, Rich Miller, the Bald AV guys, thank you guys for coming on. Much appreciated. And we look forward to talking with you guys again.
Thanks. Thanks for having us, guys, and take care.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.